Thanks very much, Sam. Thank you for coming. Pray the Lord will help us to proclaim the wonderful gospel of our Saviour and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Could be open our Bibles at God's Word at Matthew chapter 2, please. Matthew chapter 2, please. And you find the place, and we'll just give thanks again for the Lord for help. Father, we give you thanks and we praise you once again for our gathering tonight. The gathering is to proclaim the gospel of our Saviour and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Father, for the clay lips. We are nothing, we can do nothing by ourselves. And so we seek thy face, Father, that it's thy word, and it's only thy word that will return void to thee, Lord. And we pray you'll use it to your glory, honour and praise. For we do ask it in the lovely name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can mention at verse 1 of chapter 2, please. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. He's saying, where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least amongst the princes of Judea, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me the word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, that they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come unto the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. When I was reading this, brothers and sisters, I was thinking, it's a story we often hear around about the Easter time. And then sometimes we hear it around about Christmas. And as I read it, I thought, would you believe it? Out of the whole universe, they that saw the star were strangers and Jewish shepherds. That was all the ones that seen the star. The star was up in the heavens and was guiding them to the place where the Lord was. Sadducees? Nope. Pharisees? Nope. Kings? Nope. Multitudes? Nope. Question, let me ask you, when I was reading this as well, how often those who live nearest the means of grace are those who reject it? We're all brought up in churches, went to Sunday school. Brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers get saved. And yet somewhere along the family, they don't want to know. I even know of preachers or sons and daughters don't want to know anything about it. So why is that? Well, come with me to John chapter 3, please. John's Gospel, chapter 3, please. And keep your hand here on Matthew, because we'll be coming back again. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Maybe he didn't want to be seen during the day. And he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? This is an educated man. And even an uneducated man knows that that couldn't happen. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and now thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and where it goeth. So it is with every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, why speak that we do know, and testified we have seen, and yet ye receive not our witness? If I told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So brothers and sisters, this evening, as we talk about these things of God, see, it seems the nearer the scriptures and the church we get, it seems to get us further and far from God and salvation. We're in times and in these days that people don't want to know anything about God, Christ, Jesus, or anything. But soon before you start to say it, they say to you, don't preach to me. See, familiarity with holy and sacred things has a tendency to make man despise them. Nicodemus, he was a ruler in his own, a religious ruler, and he didn't know these things. He couldn't understand it. Even a child would know
You can't return to your mother's womb again after you're born. Here's this man, doesn't know the things of God. So then, if holy things and sacred things, like the Word of God, men a tendency to make them despise them. In other words, we can say that familiarity breeds contempt, and so it does. You get used to the thing, you're brought up with the thing, but you don't want the thing. Let's go to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles chapter 7, coming in at verse 12. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people were called, which I have called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attended unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, that's to Solomon, and as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father has walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and ye shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up by the root out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and I will make it a proverb, a byword among all nations, and this house which is high shall be astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why has the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which they are brought forth out of the land of Egypt, and they laid hold on other gods and worshipped them and served them, therefore has he brought all this evil upon them. Now Solomon was a young king, and we know by the book it tells us he was waylaid by the things that he was given. God, we find that, but there was no evidence of Solomon applying some of the things that he promised in his prayer to God. He didn't do what he said he would do. We take things for granted. Familiarity breeds contempt. You know, the man that went to Harald. The more you read that story, it's wonderful, you know. Today, we see the stars in the sky. But you know, that star must have been some kind of, a certain kind of star for it to stand out. So that they could bring those three men to the journey that they were travelling. The only star that gets worshipped today are the stars you get in the horoscope and the paper. And it is a horror. The only stars you get is film stars, pop stars, football stars, rugby stars, cricket stars, etc., etc., etc. That's the only stars that get any worship. Charles Swindon's book, The Greatest Life of All, The Life of Jesus Christ, God became a man. It was said this morning with Harvey. Matter of fact, I read it this morning in John 10, which I'm going to read again. John 1 and 14, which Harvey said this morning as well, and thank the Lord for it. And the Lord became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace, truth. Yes, God became a man. In John 10, I want you to come with me to John 10 because I want the people to hear it as well. John 10. John 10, verse 22. Just to get the connection. John 10, verse 22. And it was in Jerusalem in the feast of the dedication, and it was in winter. And Jesus walked into the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt if thou be the Christ? Tell us plainly. And Jesus answered and told you, and you believe not the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me, but you believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I have said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The people turn around today and they say that the Lord Jesus Christ can sin and they can do that and they can do a lot of other things. This is God manifested in the flesh. That's how silly you can be at times when you don't know. But when God points the word out to you, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. Ray Steadman says in Charles Swindon's book, he says this, can you imagine, get it in our minds tonight, can you imagine the Lord sitting on the hillside along with John and Peter, and the bed down for the night after a busy day. And some of the boys wake up in the middle of the night and they look over and they see the Lord lying sleeping beside them. And this, you could imagine, you could be saying to yourself, you know, is this true? Can that this be true? That this man can be the eternal God, the Most High God. Can this man be? This man can be and is the eternal God. Paul became an apostle after Jesus Christ was crucified. And he wrote, and I want you to come along with me, Colossians chapter 1, please. The book of Colossians chapter 1. I want you to hear it, friends, as we read it. Verse 15 to 17. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or all things, were created by him, for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Colossians 2, chapter 2, again, verse 9 of Colossians 2. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's always mentioned in the Gospels, because that's what we are in. We're in the body of Christ tonight. Saved by his wonderful grace, marvelous grace, paid for by the precious blood at Calvary. His death and his resurrection, that you and I are saved. We're in the body of Christ. In Isaiah chapter 7, come along with me again, Isaiah chapter 7. We all know, you and I know it well, but the people are sitting and listening in, they might know it. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10 of chapter 7. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord, that the God asked it either in the depth or in the height above. But as Ahaz was not asking, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, for it's a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? And God is getting weary. People are not listening. They want to enjoy themselves. Nothing wrong with that. Behold, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and ye shall call his name Emmanuel. God is with me. Verse 9, chapter 9, again verse 6, to those that do not know, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, and Mighty God, the Everlasting Fire, the Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Hosea says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and I called my son where? Out of Egypt. Brothers and sisters of the night, this is how he presented himself to the world. But the world didn't want to know anything about him. They were looking for somebody coming like Moses. God manifested in flesh, was a stumbling block, and is still a stumbling block. I said that many a time. He presented himself to the world. And in the end of it, brothers and sisters, and those that are listening, that's how we must either accept him or reject him. Tonight, we're all saved in this hall. If you're not saved, listening in, you'll have to make a decision tonight. In Matthew chapter 2, I'd like you to come back with me. I don't apologise for not back and forward. Matthew chapter 2 and 1 to 7. The response to his birth. Creation responded to the Lord's birth by putting a star in the sky. Isn't that marvellous? Putting a star in the heavens. Why? To tell the world that a king had been born. To show these men where he was at. Let me rephrase that again. To tell them that a saviour was born. That the King of Kings was born. That the Lord of Lords was born. Good news. That's what this Bible is. It's good news. A Saviour was born into this world. The Gentiles responded. How did the Gentiles responded? That's non-Jew like ourselves. The Gentiles responded by worshipping him. How come? Because they had read. They had read about it. See, sometimes the things of God we don't want to know about. The Gentiles responded by worshiping him, and they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why? Because the Jews had to be saved, and the Gentiles had to be saved. All mankind had to be saved, for all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. We're sinners by nature. We're born sinners through Adam. But the second Adam, the nature, has left us when we accept him as Lord and Saviour. See, the star led them to the scriptures. And the scriptures led them to the Saviour. That's what the book does. That's what the Word of God does. It leads you to the Saviour. In Psalm 19, our brother mentioned it this morning. It talks of creation. We're not going to go to it. But if you're listening, friend, you can go to it and read it. Psalm 19. But in Psalm 19, it says this at the first verse. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I have a wee tape in the car.
It's the low ciders, the low boy ciders or something. It's the thing, Ulster Scotch. And they were singing it, a wee hymn. And I could never get it out of my mind. And I spoke to May about it. And May remember singing it a long time ago when she was 12 years of age. And I found it in my study. I don't know how it got there. Well, I was at home when the parents was there. And then it's been lying about. But I found it and I found the name of the hymn. Here's what the hymn says. I just want to say this to you. I can't remember get the tune, mate. It says this: God who made the earth, the air, the sky, the sea, who gave the light its birth, careth for me. The God who made the grass, the flower, the fruit, the tree, the day, the night to pass, careth for me and you. God who made the sun, the moon, the stars, is he who, when life clouds come on, careth for me. God who made all things on earth and air and sea, who change and sages brings, careth for me and for you. God who sent his son to die in Calvary, he, if they lean on him, will care for me. And when in heaven's bright land I or all his loved ones see, I'll sing with that blessed band, God cared for me. He cares for you. He loves you. His son died for you. He wants to save you. You're a sinner. You're condemned and you're unclean. But you can be saved. You will be saved if you take him as your very own. The heavens declare their glory, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We find the response of creation, the response of the Jews, the Gentiles. We find the chief priests. The chief priests gave the right information. They told them it was written. They told them where they would be. They gave the right information, but they gave the wrong response. What was that? The wrong response was, there was only 5 miles away down the road for where the Lamb of God was getting born. Just down the road, 5 miles away. Five miles away from the Saviour, the Messiah. And they refused to go. They sent the other three away. That's where you find them. The priests? No. Didn't want to know. They've got all the scriptures, and they've got all the scrolls, and they've got all the laws, and they've got all. breeds content, doesn't it? They refuse to go. What good is it, friend, to hear the word of God? What good is it to hear the word of God? Or worse, maybe even to know the word of God. To hear it, and it makes no difference to your life. Boys, that is sad. See, some worshipped. Three wise men worshipped. Some were fearful. Herod was fearful. And he was misled. Some refused. You know, they were misled. The ones that worshipped brought gifts. The ones that were fearful and refused didn't want any Saviour. Didn't want any God. Didn't want any King. Friend, where do you stand tonight? Where's your standing tonight on everything that has been said? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not in an hour's time. Not tomorrow morning. Not next week. Or next month. Or next year. It could be too late. Before I finish, I know a person tonight who's in a hospital bed. And he's in that hospital bed tonight by the life that he had led in the past. His eyesight is gone, nearly gone. His legs are nearly, he can't walk without help. His speech is almost gone. Almost gone. And sadly, he uses the Lord's name as a swear word for his pain. Does it not breed contempt? And this man knew God, knew the Lord when he was a boy. He was taught it. Not tomorrow, not next week. Now is the accepted time. Friend, we're being frank, we're being honest, we're being truthful with you. This is God's word. For you were all sinners. Everyone in here has been a sinner, condemned and unclean, washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, heading for our abundant life, for the eternal life. Place been prepared for us, and one day we will be with the Lord. Where will you be if you lost your life now, this very minute, if you had a heart attack or what? Where would you be in eternity? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It says in the hymn book here, there is life. For a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner. Look unto him and be saved. Unto him who was nailed to the tree. Look. 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 There's three looks here. I'll say another three. Look, look, look. There is life for the look at the crucified one. There is life at this very moment for thee. I pray tonight that you will not reject the offer you've been given and the gift that God has given when he gave us his Son. Don't throw it away. Don't refuse it. It could be your last chance. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. We'll just have a short time of prayer and the meeting's over. Father, we give you thanks and we praise you once again for our gathering. We thank you, Father, for thy word is truth. We praise you, use it to your glory, Father. We pray that, Lord, that souls will come to know thee as Lord and Saviour. We ask you, Father, that you'll take it and use it to the glory that you actually deserve for the Son that went all the way to Calvary and shed his precious blood. It is finished, he cries, and he gave up the ghost. Tonight, we have a risen Saviour. We don't have a dead Saviour, Father. We have a risen one. And the second of the day, he was buried, and he died, and he was buried, and he rose the third day. And now sitteth at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. We give you thanks, and we praise you, Father, once again, for thy word. For thy word is truth. We thank you, Father, for the saints in the hall, for their attention, Father. And we pray, Father, that those that would tune in, Lord, that, Lord, would hear something that they've never heard before, and they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Saviour. That's what we ask in the Saviour's name. Amen.